God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Tonight, as we celebrate, if you can call it a real celebration, because who really wants to celebrate death? I will admit, I did run across one time in my readings a birthday party, so to speak, for those who were dead. It actually came from a bunch of ghosts in fiction in the Harry Potter series, as one of the ghosts was celebrating the day that he died. Most of us don't celebrate death. We may remember the anniversary of a loved one, and our hearts are not filled with joy, but with sorrow, pain. Someone who has touched our lives is now no longer able to touch that life again. And we remember. And yes, as Christians, we do believe that if the person died in Christ, they are with our Lord and Savior in heaven above. But while we're still separated from that loved one, we don't sit there and have a joyous smile on our face. Well, maybe we do, but I will admit, when I think about the loved ones who have touched my life, who are now with our Lord and Savior, I am thankful that they are with our Lord and Savior. But part of me still grieves because I'm not with them. Well, today we have a little bit of that grieving period for 40 days, so to speak, during this time of Lent. And to begin, we're going to start with sort of the first grieving period coming from Genesis chapter 3. We have the mankind going into sin, disobeying God. That has just occurred, and all of a sudden, God shows up on the scene. And what was the reaction of Adam and Eve after they sinned? They tried to hide from God. Now, I will admit, you know, as a little boy, and I did something wrong, it would be nice to kind of hide from my mother. But it never lasted for long. My mom knew where I was. Could we ever hide from God? Is there ever a place where God does not exist? The answer is no. Does not God know every single thing we do, every single sin we commit? The answer is yes. So who am I really hiding from? I'm hiding from myself. I can't face myself. I can't stand up and be tall and proud before God because I have sinned. So it also was with Adam and Eve. God knew. If they really thought about hiding from God, they would have thought otherwise. Who can hide from God? But they hid anyhow. A new nature had taken over. A new nature of sin. A new nature of corruption. A new nature that is now ashamed. A new nature that cannot stand upright. And as the end of our text says, a new nature that's destined to die. But before we get to that part of our text, let's go on to what happens when God shows up on the scene. They hide. And then God calls to the man and says, "Where are you?" He fesses up he was afraid. He also eventually fesses up that they sinned. But in doing so, notice what man does. He doesn't sit there and say, "Okay, Lord, you're right. It's my fault. I'm the one who screwed up." No. He blames someone else. Do you know of anyone who cannot ever admit that they're wrong? Who knows? It may even be you. Who can never ever sit and stand before someone and say, "You're right. I'm the one who screwed up. I'm the one who made the mistake." I will admit it's always interesting when people always say, "It's so-and-so's fault over there. It's because of them that we're suffering in this pain. Or it's because of them over there." We, as our sinful nature, love to blame other people. Rarely do we want to sit there and say, "You're right, I'm the one who screwed up." That's not part of our sinful human nature. Adam and Eve show us our new sinful human nature. Adam blames Eve, and Eve blames the serpent. "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Notice the serpent didn't say anything. It's kind of interesting. Serpent had no one to blame. It's almost like the dog in the family. You know, husband comes home, yells at the wife yells at the kids yell at the dog, and the dog looks there and says, "What happened? But Satan knew what happened. He was probably gloating. He had destroyed God's creation. So God's response to him was, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the beasts of the field, and on your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. Then we get into some more punishments here. To the woman he says, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I have commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. Now we get that final curse here, the curse of death. For out of it you were taken, and the words which we just heard with the imposition of ashes, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now I will admit, when we get to those words, again, I don't feel like celebrating. How many of you have ever questioned those words when you've come to receive the ashes? For some of you, this is not your first time to receive the ashes. And you might be thinking, well, where's the good news, Pastor? Help me out here. Why do I want to be receiving these ashes to remind me that I am dust and the dust I shall return? Because of the one passage that I very quickly skipped over. You see, we need to be reminded of the situation we are in. We need to be reminded of how bad our life truly is, that we truly deserve death. Not even just death, we deserve to return back to dust. But God doesn't want to leave us there. Passage that I skipped over was the passage. The Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the beasts of the field. And we keep going there to verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. These words are a direct prophecy of what was going to come from the Savior, Jesus himself. He was the one who was going to crush the serpent's head, ultimately defeat him, whereas the serpent himself was only going to strike Christ on the heel. This is ultimately fulfilled in the crucifixion. Yes, a painful blow was dealt to our Savior, Jesus Christ. But ultimately, through that painful blow, the serpent's head was crushed. Death has been conquered. We may remember this, and during this time of Lent, we are reminded of this. But now we have to ask ourselves, so how does this help me here and now? How does this help me in my Christian life, and my continual struggle against sin? How does it help me? How does it give me strength to stand up again proud instead of hiding or trying to hide from God? The answer is, we have to realize that through the cross of Jesus, yes, we have the forgiveness of sins. But let's not dismiss that too quickly. Let me put it this way. What would happen if all of a sudden God handed me a list on a nice big scroll of every single sin you committed and said, Pastor, would you read this? You might be saying, Pastor, this sermon or this message is going to go for a very long time. We won't get out of here until Easter. Trust me, you will get out of here before Easter. But if we went through every single sin, you know how demoralizing that would be? I don't have to go too far in my own life to realize how demoralizing that would be for myself. I would feel like dust of the earth. But then God's saying to me, not only after you're done reading every single sin, go back to the beginning part of the liturgy where we confess our sins, and then God's saying through me to you, you are forgiven. You are restored. Lift your head up. Stand up straight. You are chosen by God. That's the beautiful joy that we have in Christ. Our sin knocks us down to the dust of the earth, where we feel like we're absolutely nothing, and then God lifts us up. How many of you caught it during the prayer of the day? We're in the prayer, and let me just paraphrase here. It basically says God always appreciates His creation. He created you. He loves you. He died on the cross. He has forgiven you. He has lifted you up and restored you. But our sinful human nature strikes again. Our sinful human nature wants to hide from God, even though we have a loving, caring God who forgives. But going back to the beginning part of Genesis chapter 3 of our text, Adam and Eve hid. God knew where they were. God knew their sin. Why do you want to hide from the loving God? Because they were ashamed. Sin does that. Notice what sin is doing. Sin is pulling us away from God. God still loved Adam and Eve. God was going to send His Savior to undo the damage of Adam and Eve. But then why would Adam and Eve hide? Because that new sinful nature was afraid. As Christians, we have to realize that there are many times in our own lives that we also want to hide from God. Whether we want to hide from God because we don't want to tell other people about His love and forgiveness. Whether we want to hide from God by busying ourselves with other activities. Whether we want to hide from God and try to pretend that we're not really that bad of people. That's why we bring out the ashes. That's why we burn the palm branches from Palm Sunday and make them into black ashes. Put them on our foreheads to remind us that from dust you are to dust you shall return. Because only when the Christian realizes that we are nothing but dust do we truly appreciate what it means for God to die on the cross, forgive us our sins, to lift us up, to strengthen us and say, you are His. And He does more than that. He encourages us with His word, and He gives of His own body. We who do not deserve to have a body, but for our bodies to return to the dust of the earth, He gives us of His body. He gives us of His blood to strengthen, to forgive us, so that we will eventually have that spiritual glorified body. That body that will be without any stain or wrinkle, without any blemish. That body that will be without sin. And I'm venture to say that in heaven there is no place to hide, because we will not need to hide from God. Then we will truly be able to stand upright. Then we'll truly be able to give our praise and glory to God without any inhibition. Until that time, we still struggle with the effects of sin. So as we enter this Lenten period, it's 40 days, not counting the Sundays. It's a time of repentance, a time of reflection, a time to remind ourselves that we don't really deserve God's grace. We truly deserve to be dust. But God has a strange sense of humor. He loves dust. No, I don't want to imply that heaven's dusty, especially for those of you who have allergies. But He loves our dust. He loves His creation. He loves who you are. Even in spite of our many sins? Yes. Even if they were red? Yes. God knows. But He still loves us. That is the true mark of a wonderful God. A true mark of a merciful God. That in spite of all our wrongdoings, He still loves us. So during this time of Lent, as we focus on our sinfulness, we also focus on an opportunity to share what God has given to us with those around us. We also take a look at opportunities to realize that, yes, we are dust, we don't deserve His blessings, but yes, God still blesses us, which we don't deserve, so maybe we should bear that fruit and share His blessings, not only of love, forgiveness, but what He has given to us to those around us. Because it is through us of sharing ourselves that we reflect the same glory that Christ shared of Himself to restore us. Our simple action of sharing and helping someone in need can have a profound impact upon them. And they may ask why. And the answer is, because God has done this for me and has blessed me, I also want to share this blessing with those around. So also during this time of Lent, some people have also taken an opportunity to say, you know, I have been blessed. Let me look for ways of sharing the blessings that God has given to me with those in need. And I might have to hurt a little bit. And my life may have to be a little bit uncomfortable. But during these 4 days of Lent, maybe that's a good thing. To remind us again of how much God truly loves us and truly has blessed us. Yes, God loves the dust, the ash, the dirt that we are made of. Because He also knows that we have been restored because of His Son, Jesus Christ. So as the church now enters this preparation time to prepare for ourselves for the feast of the resurrection, we prepare ourselves with dust, no sackcloths, maybe some ashes, to remind ourselves on how great and glorious of a God we've come to worship. How great and glorious is the God who comes to give us good gifts. How great and glorious we have a God who takes dust and breathes into us life again. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.